Today on Annenberg Radio News.
Hi, this is Steve Lopez from the LA Times. I'm calling to see if Nathaniel Ayers attended your school.
He was the most gifted kid I've ever met.
The new movie, The Soloist, is calling attention to mental health issues among the homeless. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 23rd. I'm Jonathan Horn. Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa is traveling around Los Angeles today, asking city employees to voluntarily take a pay cut to save more jobs. Ariel Edwards-Levy reports.
As a part of his Keep LA Working tour, Villaraigosa visited Canoga Park High School this afternoon, the first Los Angeles Unified School District school to have solar power generating systems. The mayor released his $7 billion budget on Monday. He's asking city employees to agree to take one unpaid hour a week, put an extra 2% into their retirement accounts, and skip regular pay raises. He estimates these measures will save more than 2,500 positions. The mayor hopes to cut $530 million of city debt by renegotiating employee contracts and privatizing city-owned facilities and parking lots. He also announced Monday that he would be taking a pay cut himself. His annual salary of $223,000 will be reduced by 12%. This evening, Mayor Villaraigosa will hold a town hall meeting in the Valley to discuss his new budget. Ariel Edwards-Levy, Annenberg Radio News.
What would happen if an airplane crashed near LAX? Well, this morning, police and fire agencies prepared for that worst-case scenario. In the simulation, a commercial plane experienced mechanical failure 4 minutes after takeoff from LAX and crashed while attempting to return. Marina Del Rey resident Rob Moore says the drill was a comforting experience.
The pilots handled things very well, and so I feel confident, safer flying than driving, from my point of view.
The situation was similar to the emergency landing on the Hudson River made earlier this year. The LAPD and LA Fire Department were among those taking part in the event, which is focused on ensuring cooperation between the agencies. Speaking of LAX, the airport is seeing fewer foreign visitors lately. International travel is down by 19%. The huge drop in airport traffic is raising questions about whether LAX can afford to go ahead with a multi-billion dollar renovation. The project is the largest in LA city history and is being paid for with a combination of passenger and airline charges and airport revenues. The 405 freeway will eventually have more cars on the road, if you can imagine that. The Metro Board voted today to go ahead with a $1 billion expansion project to widen the freeway at the Sepulveda Pass. The project will build a 10-mile carpool lane and 18 miles of sound walls. It will also replace bridges. Metro officials say the work will create 18,000 jobs and estimate they have enough cash to keep the project going for the next year and a half. Metro officials hope when the economy improves, they will raise the rest of the money. Construction will begin this summer. A new study indicates traffic-related pollutants are the leading cause of asthma in children. The findings released by the California Air Resources Board today show children exposed to pollution have a 30% more chance of contracting asthma. Dimitri Stanich with the Air Resources Board says there's hope these numbers could eventually decrease.
California's air is the cleanest it's been in 50 years. We've been working on the regulations that have been cleaning the air for 40 years, and now cars are 99% cleaner than vehicles that were produced in the 90s. So while this figure is startling, we are making headway, and we are able to reduce the amount of pollution in the air.
The research was published in the Journal of Environmental Health Perspectives. Temperatures will dip into the mid-50s tonight, but the sun returns tomorrow with a high of 64. Saturday will be mostly sunny and top out at 68 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, we'll talk about how popular culture can change the perception of mental illness. K California may become America's first state to require low-carbon fuels as a way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. The state's Air Resources Board is proposing a plan to count all the emissions required to deliver gasoline and diesel to Californians. The goal is to reduce the amount of carbon content in fuel to 10% by the year 2020. Some residents of South Los Angeles are starting to use solar power. Just this week, Los Angeles County launched a website to help homeowners and businesses figure out if they will benefit from solar. Caitlin Funero has more on how this new technology can save both the environment and some money.
Morgan Place is a new housing complex in South LA that provides affordable homes for low-income seniors. It had its grand opening in March, and most of the building's common areas are now running on solar power.
Lights or janitorial or even our elevator and other needs that we have just to maintain the building.
That's Dan Roberts, the manager of Morgan Place. He says having solar panels on the building's roof make a big dent in the building's power use.
It covers, from what I understand, about 75% of the power usage of the building.
Solar power's popularity is growing, but South Los Angeles is still lagging behind. LA County's new solar mapping website shows 24 solar panel installations in South Los Angeles, compared with 92 in Santa Monica.
I think that there's more of a conscious effort on the part of developers to incorporate, you know, environmentally conscious building approaches.
Jonathan Bass works with Solar City, the company that designed and installed the panels at Morgan Place. Bass thinks the number of homes and businesses using solar power is likely to go up as materials get cheaper and the government provides more incentives.
Yeah, it used to be that it was purely an environmental decision, but now it's possible to save money by installing solar.
Since Morgan Place's solar panels are so new, they're not sure how much money it will save. But Dan Roberts says it's the other kind of green that matters too. Caitlin Fenaro, Annenberg Radio News.
Jonathan Hunter is applauding the release of The Soloist. He's the managing director of the Los Angeles region of the Corporation for Supportive Housing. Hunter says the relationship between LA Times writer Steve Lopez and homeless musician Nathaniel Ayers sets an example for how to work with the homeless.
The most powerful part of the relationship between Mr. Ayers and Steve Lopez is that, you know, there are solutions to the problems of homelessness, particularly for people with mental illness. And that it takes a lot of time and patience, and that it takes people who are willing to risk being in relationship with folks whose lives are in a great deal of chaos.
When somebody, as you said, has concerns about relationships with homeless people with mental illnesses, what kind of things would you tell them?
They should reach out to some of the many fine organizations that work with people with mental illness. And they're willing to help people. I mean, that's a big part of what Steve Lopez did, was he reached out to Mental Health America in Los Angeles. He reached out to LAMP Community. And he reached out to people who knew what he was getting into and who were willing to help him.
Do you know Mr. Ayers?
I've met him, yes.
What are your impressions? What are your thoughts?
I think he's a person who's a good example of the many people that I've known over the years who struggle with mental illness. You know, as much as our treatments available for people with mental illness have improved, they're still very, very far from perfect, and people grow to mistrust the system for some very good reasons. And I think Mr. Ayers has demonstrated tremendous courage in being willing to develop a relationship with someone who wanted to help him. And he's, you know, began to build a life of dignity and that supported, you know, that has friendships, he has a home, he has a community, and I think he's overcome tremendous odds.
When you first heard about the movie they were making, did you have any, like, ethical concerns about using his story for, you know, profit or anything like that?
No, partly because I know that Mr. Lopez has committed a tremendous amount of the profits from both the book and the movie to support Mr. Ayres.
Well, when a story like this, you know, is exposed as more than just a newspaper article in a local paper, now it's going to be a national movie. Do you have more optimism, or are you more cautiously optimistic about having more volunteers for helping the homeless?
I'm cautiously optimistic, and I say that in part because already just the series of articles in the newspaper have, you know, they've helped shape public opinion, and people have gotten involved with some of the programs in Los Angeles in a way that they wouldn't have otherwise. We don't need to continue saying, you know, homelessness is an impossible problem to solve.
Thank you very much for the time, Mr. Hunter.
Sure, welcome.
Jonathan Hunter is the managing director of the Los Angeles region of the Corporation for Supportive Housing. Sticking with the soloist, the movie opens tomorrow, and the film's portrayal of schizophrenia has struck a chord with some mental health professionals. Esther Pomeroy has more.
The Soloist is based on the real-life story of Nathaniel Ayres, a talented musician with schizophrenia. He is living on the streets of Los Angeles when LA Times columnist Steve Lopez begins writing about him, and the two develop an unlikely friendship.
What does he have? Schizophrenia?
Are you flying that plane?
No, I'm right here.
I'm not always so sure what's going on.
He has no idea what he's saying.
Reactions from critics have been mixed, but the movie has found fans among some mental health advocates. Ken Kondo with the LA County Department of Mental Health says the movie is a realistic look at the difficulties and rewards of treating someone with a mental illness.
We're very excited about the movie. They really took a liking and an interest in not just doing a movie, but they did research. They worked with the various community-based organizations that have had contact with Nathaniel. What the Soloist really emphasizes in the movie is that there is hope.
Mental illness is common among the homeless. Dr. Sandra Cox, the executive director of the Mental Health Coalition in South LA, is a fan of the film. She says homelessness itself adds a layer of difficulty to treatment.
We really have to have some consistency with the client. And if there's nowhere to be found, then we don't have consistency. And not everybody's going to come and live within four walls.
Deborah Bundy lives in shelters and on the streets. She says she suffers from schizophrenia and depression. And she says it often goes untreated.
It's like I went to mental health clinic for my depression and all that. And I thought they were going to see me the same day. They put me back for 2 weeks. I had to wait 2 weeks.
In recent years, Los Angeles has been increasing resources to get the homeless the mental health assistance they need. But because of the bad economy, homelessness is on the rise. Esther Pomeroy, Annenberg Radio News.
Are you getting a discount on your utility bill? Almost a million Californians aren't taking advantage of the available discounts on their power bills. Marie Cunningham reports.
Southern California power companies are trying to spread the word with their We Care California campaign. They say an extra 900,000 people are eligible for discounts, but might not even know it. A family of four with a combined income of less than $43,000 a year can get 20% or more taken off their power bills. Since the income is based on how much you're making now and not last year, the program can benefit people who have recently lost their jobs. But do Californians know about the program? We asked some local people if they've heard about the discounts. Brian Montoya says his family of five hasn't heard about the program, but now he's going to check it out.
There's like five people in my household, and if people would know that they're eligible for this thing, it would mean so much to them because it would be extra money for like extra spendings and like groceries, etc.
Arthur Cotton's family is getting the discount.
So it helps us out a lot, you know, especially with the economy today, you know, and it's working.
For more information to see if you qualify, visit our website at www.annenbergradio.org. Marie Cunningham, Annenberg Radio News.
The Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County is coming into the 21st century. The museum unveiled NHM Next today, the restoration of the city's oldest museum. Adriana Venegas-Chavez reports.
The first history museum to open in Los Angeles in 1913 is in the midst of renovating some of its oldest buildings. The project that will prepare Natural History Museum of Los Angeles County for the 21st century will last 5 years. Today, the museum gave the media a preview of the restoration. President of the Board of Trustees, Paul Haga, says the museum is essential for the community.
You will not understand the planet you live on. You will not understand the city and area in which you live unless you have spent time at the Natural History Museum. It is as simple as that.
The museum opens its doors to more than 850,000 people annually, including more than 300,000 students from the area. And with the expansion of the metro, more will be able to visit.
We're particularly pleased that the new metro line will be coming here. The expo line will be stopping right out in front of our museum. We'll make it more accessible to even more Angelenos.
The $91 million project will include the renovation of three wings and seismic retrofit systems that will secure the building and the exhibits. Starting the summer of 2010, the museum will open the first of three exhibits, including Age of Mammals, Dinosaur Mysteries, and Under the Sun. Jane Pisano is president and director of the museum.
In these exhibits, we're going to be putting out more real things in better ways and telling more stories with them than ever before.
The project will be completed in 2013, in time to celebrate the museum's centennial. Adriana Venegas Chavez, Annenberg Radio News.
Recently, we had some students from Crenshaw High School come in to talk about what's important to them. Here's one student's commentary on his love of football.
My name is Maquan Thomas, and I'm going to talk about my passion of football. Football is my favorite sport. Football has been the only sport I can really see myself playing. For some reason, I like to play rough and dangerous sports. I like to wrestle, fight, and run, but I like football more than any other sport. I first played football when I was 9, and I liked it. My second year playing was last year, 2008. My dream is to go to the NFL and play professional. That's a few years from now. Before I do anything, I must first concentrate on getting good grades. I am now 15 years old, and I'm attending Crenshaw High School. I plan on joining their football team this year. I would really be proud of myself if I was to achieve my goal. Unlike Michael Vick, I wouldn't use the money for dog cruelty because that would really mess up my image on being a role model to lots of people. Because I'll be rich and I'll be in the spotlight, I wouldn't want people to be ashamed of me. Instead, I would give back to my family and take care of them. I want to be a good influence to those who like football like I do. I could picture myself playing professional football, but it won't be easy to get there. I need to be ready and dedicated and try hard to get to the top. This is my dream, and I won't let anyone take this from me.
Go get him, Maquan, a ninth grade student at Crenshaw High School. Now we check in with Christian Martinez to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Christian?
Thanks, John. Tonight on Annenberg TV News, we'll tell you more on how student debt is rising. We talk to USC students about why students have become so dependent on credit cards. Also, we talk to USC students majoring in theater about the risks of method acting, what they say about needing therapy after using the same methods as late actor Heath Ledger. We'll also give you an update on how Jay Leno is doing after checking into a hospital and canceling the taping of his show, The Tonight Show, for tonight's showing.
You know, Kristen, there are a lot of people out there that get their news solely from Jay Leno's monologue. I think they might have to watch and listen to us tonight.
Definitely.
Well, they won't be missing out. So thanks for that, Kristen. We'll be sure to tune in. For more stories, pictures, and today's entire broadcast, check out our website at www.annenbergradio.org. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Kim Daniels and Billy Higgins. Lata Pandya is our producer, and Caitlin Finero is the executive producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Jonathan Horn.